In a letter to lawmakers today, Democratic Congressman Adam Schiff described the impeachment hearings that will begin tomorrow as a solemn undertaking and said everyone, including President Trump, would be treated fairly. This week marks the first public hearings on impeachment since President Bill Clinton was impeached in 1998.
William Jefferson Clinton is not a king. He is our president. You have the power and the duty to remove him for office for high crimes and misdemeanors.
Some Americans also remember the Senate hearings into President Richard Nixon and the Watergate scandal back in 1973.
The questions that have been raised in the wake of the June 17 break-in strike at the very undergirding of our democracy. If the many allegations made to this date are true, then the burglars who broke into the headquarters of the Democratic National Committee at the Watergate were in effect breaking into the home of every citizen of the United States.
Joining us now is Julian Zelizer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University. Julian, as you hear those two clips from years ago, what is your feeling about the importance of what is happening this week?
Well, these are the moments when Congress tries to lay out its case, either through witnesses or through the speeches of members themselves. And these are really, really relevant to public opinion and related to that to the opinion of members of the Senate as to was this a corruption of power or not.
What is the first thing you're going to be watching for tomorrow?
What the witnesses say. I think ultimately that's going to be the most important, the weight of the testimony. Do they have enough to draw a big picture for the public about how the president conducted foreign policy in bad ways? And then the second thing is how the parties try to handle this. Republicans will smear, they'll distract, they're going to try to do everything possible so you're not focused on the witnesses. And the question is, can Democrats figure out a way to handle that?
And do you think that lawmakers in both parties are keeping an open mind as they head into this week?
I'm not persuaded by that. I do think there's an imbalance between the parties. The Democrats were very slow to reach this point, so they did, as a party, let the facts drive them to this moment, which many people, including Speaker Pelosi, didn't want to be in. But so far, at least, the Republicans on the committees have not really had an open mind. And so that's part of what we're watching. Is there any fact, is there any development, smoking gun testimony that can shake that partisan status quo?
When you listen back to that tape that we just played from the impeachment of President Clinton and the hearings that were going on into President Nixon, what are the parallels between what we're seeing now and what we saw then?
Well, both ultimately were questions about the abuse of presidential power. That's the big picture here. While we're focusing on the story of Ukraine, that's what Congress was looking in 1973 and then 74, and that's what they saw. And similar, that's what Republicans, the case they wanted to make back in 1998. I think the 73-74 moment is more instructive in many ways because ultimately Congress was able to paint a very big picture of systematic abuse of power by the president and put together different moments, different people that all supported this. And so that's what the current House needs to aspire to if they're going to make the case.
Well, and back then, of course, they didn't get very far, did they? Because President Nixon resigned from office.
Sure. He resigned and the House as a whole didn't have to make a decision. And so we don't actually know how that would have looked or what would have happened in the Senate, although most people suspect President Nixon would have been removed from office. It was also watched in a very different medium. It was three networks. There wasn't really partisan news at the time. And so we had a public commons where people watched this unfold. Today, we have a fragmented commons and a very partisan commons. And so that will affect the politics of the hearings themselves.
How so? I mean, and I'm thinking also of social media, which is going to be live tweeting and live commenting on everything that's going on in the next couple of days.
Well, no one's going to collectively see the same thing. They're going to see bits and pieces of these hearings. I suspect that's what a lot of people, how they will experience it. And B, they will watch these, but then it will be followed up by very partisan commentary that will say, look at this, but this is what it all meant. And so it's much harder for the House of Representatives to sustain a national conversation and to, quote unquote, educate the public when people will literally see different facts before them.
And we've heard reporting that the Democrats would like to get the biggest newsy moments out of the hearings right at the beginning in that first 45 minutes tomorrow. Do you think that we're going to hear anything in these public hearings that might actually shift public opinion one way or the other?
We could. I mean, look at what has happened since the whistleblower revealed what went on and everyone else came out in the private hearings to support that. It has shifted public opinion. It's lent more support to the idea of impeachment and even to removal. Nationally, the president is not in good standing right now, even though he's doing well with Republicans. So I think what we've learned from Ukraine is evidence that the facts can still matter. They have to be dramatic. They have to be clear. But there is a possibility.
That is Julian Zelizer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University. And again, many NPR stations will be carrying those hearings live tomorrow. Julian, thanks.
Thanks for having me.